webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself and God and God and you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Hello, this is Daniel Rouse. Would you welcome with me again the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Lilborn Williams?
Well, Daniel, here we are off to a running start. People would not believe the conversation we've just had. How long did it last? How long did we talk?
About 2 hours.
I think it was 2 hours. So
yeah.
And here I had my voice all doing better. And then Daniel makes me talk for 2 hours. So anyway.
Well, isn't there a song, Yakety Yak, Don't Talk Back?
Yeah. See, and he just keeps getting smarter every day. It's just the gospel is not working on you, dude.
Well, in other news, Michael, we have just came out of our conference.
Oh, my God. What a wonderful thing.
And if you're thinking, what conference? I missed it. Oh, my God. And yes, oh, my God, you missed it. Make sure you go to our YouTube channel, Gospel Revolution and the number one, and look at the 2025 Fall Grace Conference. Of course, big thanks to our gracious host up in Canada, as always. But we came in talking about shadows and the light.
Whoa. Daniel, I learned so much. How about you?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So much. And, you know, we admitted in the beginning that we were going to set off and just kind of do some, you know, basic fundamental teachings about the gospel. We're going to look at Adam and the law and some of these shadows. But true gospel style, we came in, we started digging, and we found some stuff that shook our world.
Boy, and I am sure that those of you that have listened, it's shaken your world. And it's about to shake a whole lot more, because some of the things that we learned in that conference, now we are about to launch into, and you guys know what we've taught, the thousand-year reign. I'm telling you, that has reshaped people's entire paradigm of God and creation and Christ and the fulfillment of the cross. It has just done so much in 50 sessions. But we're about to teach something. It may not take 50 sessions. I'd say maybe. I know, exactly. It might take 100 sessions. But what we are about to do is probably one of the greatest realignments to the truth of the gospel, away from what I teach, what mystics teach, what Baptists teach, what people think they know about Judaism, what people think they know about the law of God itself. This is going to be a refocusing, and we're going to let the words speak for themselves. We're not going to apply a wrench. We're not going to twist. We're not going to turn. We're not going to right foot on yellow, left foot on red, because I can't do that anymore.
So. I'd pay money to see that.
Yes, you and the whole world would. 6 foot six of stumbling, tangled, whatever it looks like. I don't know. It ain't as pretty as it used to be, I can tell you that. But anyway, but God still thinks I'm pretty. My mama she's been gone since I was 14. She still thinks I'm pretty too. So anyway. The power of, and I'm not trying to hype this so you'll stay on only. I can't say I'm not. But hyping means that you're saying something more than what's actually going to be there. I don't think I can do that, can I, Daniel?
No hyperbole.
No, none. And so this is so wonderful. Thank you, guys, for contributing. This month is our Salvation Month, as far as contributions, it is our make sure we don't wind up in debtor's prison at the end of the year. the month of September is the month where that we balance the checkbooks. And we aim for this. We try our best to keep everything within margins to where that by September, with what we can have come in, especially through the Canada Conference and other contributions, that we can balance all the checkbook. So please jump in. If this is Don Bartlett's value for value, listen to this. If you haven't heard the conference, listen to this. And then decide if other people deserve to be able to hear this. Mm. And help us do that. That's all we're asking. But we're not going to apply any pressure. We're not going to put a steam engine to this. We're not going to rev it up. We're not going to dummy it down. Oh my gosh. We've talked about some things that Daniel and I have actually talked about. Maybe we should dummy this down a little bit. Because it's so powerful and it's so challenging to the standard paradigm of what people think about Christ himself.
Mm. And, you know, Michael, we actually, and everyone, if you watched the conference, you kind of held us in at some of those moments. You experienced some of those moments with us.
Yeah.
Where we felt stupid.
Yeah.
Because we were teaching things and unteaching things that we had taught for a long time and that we should have seen. Specifically, and we introduced this even before the conference, about these fence laws.
Yeah.
I mean, we were learning that a lot of the, quote, law in the New Testament that was speaking about the law, that we thought it was speaking about the law of Moses, was not speaking about the law of Moses, the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and the 613 laws that God gave through Moses, but actually a whole nother world of man-made traditions. And even a lot of the teachings of Christ, and, you know, Michael, hate to say it, but we got to go back through the teachings of Christ now again because of what we learned.
Yeah.
And we were totally blindsided by this.
Yeah.
And we got a list of a few more that we want to go through today as we continue this conversation. But on the week before the conference, we did a session on fence laws, and we went through about 10 of them. And it was amazing to see how much the fence laws affect even our everyday life. Mm-hmm. I used a graphic on that last podcast that we did with a white picket fence, because we found out where the white picket fence came from.
Amazing.
And how it started. And it was all based on a fence law about the Sabbath, that they couldn't carry their babies out past a certain point. They couldn't do, I mean, if your kid ran out in the middle of the street, according to the law, if that happened on the Sabbath, there was nothing you could do about it, because that was a fence law, but it wasn't the law.
Yeah.
And we learned as we walked through so many of those different things, prayer before you eat your food. That's something, I mean, Michael, I just drove for a wedding yesterday for Lamers, and I guarantee you before they did that reception that the priest was up there praying for their meal.
Yeah.
A fence law.
That is a fence law that you must pray, because under the law that was never required. This was an added to. It's so amazing that our customs of modern civilization around the world has not been shaped around God's law or even the work of the cross. We're still all living by fence laws.
Yep.
We've forgotten about the cross and we've forgotten about the law of Moses. Fence laws rule the day. So what are we going to do once the fence laws are gone? Well, it's our persuasion that if we can address these enough to where that you can see and we can see the with precision, not ambiguity on any level, but with precision, be able to see what Jesus was actually dealing with, what Paul was actually speaking about, Mm-hmm. We have people quoting Paul and Jesus to affirm and let you know that the law of Moses has nothing to do with the cross or with salvation or redemption. Mm. And they quote these verses. And we're going to show you where they themselves have created fence laws. By misunderstanding these things, they've created fence laws that are telling you that the law itself must be avoided.
Mm-hmm.
That the law itself, that's what misinterpretation and misunderstanding does. It takes us. I don't know why that just tickled me instantly. You might as well have had a little feather under my chin. But so it takes us everything. And it causes the things that are important to be unimportant and the things that are unimportant to be important.
Come on.
Now, that's the world we live in today. Mm-hmm. And if you are a Democrat, you are making things that are important, unimportant, and making the unimportant important. Now, you all know that I'm a Republican, right? Let me say also that if you are a Republican, you are taking things that are important and making them unimportant, and taking the things that are unimportant and making them important. Now, in your own two wonderful ways, but they're totally different, but they're exactly the same.
Mm.
Subject change methods don't. Folks, I'm for the method changing. I don't know what... I say too much about politics now, at least enough to let everybody know that I ain't neither one. So, and in that, I am accused.
And that reflects what Jesus said about the law. And, you know, they were accusing of misappropriating the tithe and calling people out. And Jesus, his response to that was, not that he was talking against the law of tithing. What he was talking about is the fence laws of tithing that they had created. But his comment was, is you have missed the weighty things of the law, the important things of the law. By focusing in and by creating these fence laws, you have taken the focus away from what the law was really there to do. And everyone's so distracted by the shiny thing over here that they've missed the core message of the gospel, or of the law.
Yeah, and of the gospel by contrast. So you mean what I just said was in the Bible?
Yes, sir. Well, amen, brother. And you got to tear down the Democrats and the Republicans doing it.
And we got to tell you, all Democrats, now hide your ears, Republicans, all Democrats are holy, righteous, and perfect. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we know what you are now, right? Everybody wants to know. It's like Pat. You remember the thing about, I was on Comedy Central. I don't remember which one it was. There was a character called Pat and had short, curly hair and talked like that. Well, and Pat dressed in pants and shirts, and but looked like a woman. And so everybody was always trying to ask Pat questions that would give them indications, is Pat a man or a woman? And every week, everybody was waiting, are they going to get Pat to admit which one Pat is? And they would come up to this point, and it's like, bam, they've got it. They've got, Pat now has to admit which one she is. And every time she'd, and then say something that would just deflect away from it. Well, I don't know why in the hell I just went into that. What were we talking about?
We were ripping Democrats and Republicans.
Oh, we forgot to rip the other side, right? So whatever I said about the other side, I say the same thing about the other side too. So,
and my response is,
yes, brother. Okay, we're revealing way too much about Daniel today. So.
Yeah, and Jesus, he made other comments about how these traditions have made the word of God without effect. And the word of God, the law of God, cannot do what it was intended to do as long as these fence laws are established. And so much of what Paul had come against that they were teaching, so much of what Jesus was doing against the Pharisees was not preaching contrary to the law, but they were preaching against the fence laws. And we brought out in the conference now what our mystic friends have done with that is they threw the baby out with the bathwater. Is they heard these statements about, hey, you know, your traditions, and they threw the law of God and the law of Moses into that tradition and said that they were the traditions. But what Jesus was doing is he was precisely cutting between the traditions of man and the law of God.
He absolutely was. One of the things you're going to learn is going to be mind-blowing is that what the term Jewish and Judaism, when it started being used, and the implications of that. We're going to take you back to the Hebrew Scriptures on this one, and we are going to trace an event that is, Daniel, this is what we got to do today. We've got to go into this, and we've got to show the point where everything changed.
Before we do that, let's work through a list of a few more of these fence laws.
Let's do
How does
it.
That sound, Michael?
I'm ready. Drag me through the fences.
Yeah, so we went through about 10 of them last week, and we'll look at a few here more today. And Michael, might I remind you that at one point you said that these were things breaking the law?
I got my fingers in my ears. I can't hear you. You do not exist.
Yeah, go ahead.
I am guilty as charged. I said one of the most unthinkable things that proves that God himself is at peace with mankind. I said that his son broke his laws. The fact that God didn't smack the crap out of me.
It's just proof of grace.
It's proof that God is at peace with everyone. So, gosh, we redeemed Jesus this week. So, I mean, you got a powerful ministry when you can redeem Jesus. I tell you, with what some of our mystic friends have done to him, I mean, we got to redeem him. Yeah. We're going to let him speak for himself. Let the scriptures speak for themselves, and let these passages that they use out of context speak for themselves.
But I might give you some credit, Michael, and say that your statement is true, that had Jesus broken the law, he would have still been perfect, holy, yes, righteous, and sinless, because his seed was from God.
Thank you. Thank you for redeeming me. So we're just redeemers around here today. If you want some redemption, call. We'll give it to you.
Okay, number one, eating with unwashed hands. Oh, we all know that that's got to be in the law, right?
Yeah.
You know, Michael, this is the story about when the Pharisees, they ridiculed Jesus' disciples because they did not wash their hands before they ate. Now, this was not a law in the Torah. This was something that had actually become one of those fence laws.
Is there a law, Daniel, that evolved from?
Yes. God's law about washing was actually for the priests. It was for the priests that they were required to wash their hands before they handled the sacrifices. And it was limited to the priest in the temple.
Wow.
Not for all of Israelites eating their meals. But in order to prevent anyone from accidentally breaking God's laws, the Pharisees created extra rules, fences around the law. Hand washing before meals was one of these. It was never commanded in the Torah.
Wow. Maybe by mama, but not by the Torah, right?
Mm-hmm. And maybe a good thing to do, but hey.
if you're going to starve to death because you can't wash your hands, we suggest that you're a little religious about that. So that's where food is made for man, not man for food. I think Jesus would say something like that, you know.
Yes, exactly. And it's not what goes into man that defiles the man.
That's what comes out. There you go.
Okay, number two, plucking grain on the Sabbath. Of course, we know the law about that you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. But this was, and we went through several of these in our last podcast. We looked at a lot of the laws that were created around the Sabbath, such as the picket fences where they couldn't go. So reaping grain was defined as work. Even just rubbing heads of grain together. And Jesus' disciples were ridiculed to this too, because they were hungry on the Sabbath and they plucked a couple grain so that they could make a meal and nope.
Yeah. I think this is part of Jesus' statement about the Sabbath being made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Yeah. So it was for man. It wasn't against man. It was for man. All of the things that God commanded to be done were that were actually there. They were to celebrate the covenant they had with God.
Mm.
So all of these things were placed there as reminders of what they had, not what they were trying to get.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a very powerful point. Stick with us, because I'm telling you, your life is going to change. So the power of finally understanding that the laws of Moses came after Abraham, but these laws were there to celebrate this covenant. And these laws were given to celebrate covenant. Now, covenant was broken, obviously, when Moses came down and they had built a golden calf, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of breaking the covenant. So it broke. He threw them on the ground and broke them. And then had to go back and get them written down again, right? So anyway, but things changed in all what these performances of sacrifice, all of these things that were required of the law, these were all celebrations. There was nothing done that wasn't always done. They weren't sacrificing children. And the sacrifice is like, oh, they killed a little lamb. They killed little lambs every day.
Mm-hmm.
They had to eat them. So there's people describe this commandment and the laws of Moses as vulgar and awful. He didn't tell you to kill your pet dog, folks.
Mm-hmm.
This was something that was a food product, and he simply put it in this order of this ceremonially to say, wow, look what we have with God.
Mm.
God did not require them to do this to gain covenant. These were symbols of being in covenant with God. Your life is changing right now, whether you know it or not. All of these things were given by God to the nation of Israel, to the Israelites. These things were given to them to do in celebration of covenant. Not to get covenant, not to gain covenant, nor to keep covenant.
Totally opposite of what all of the list of the things that we're going through.
Yeah.
These were here to establish a covenant.
Right. At least make a good attempt at it. This issue of the of people becoming what was now referred to as Jewish, they were not referred to as that before. Now, we've got a lot to talk about, and I know some of you are sitting there like RCA dog, right? And we are too. We've got a lot to learn, but we will not turn our backs on what is and is not there in the scriptures. Sometimes what's not there speaks louder than what is there.
Mm.
And it was after this point that they began to be called not the nation of Israel, but the Jewish people.
Mm.
Now, that, like I say, there's a whole lot to learn there. We're going to go back to that, but right now we're going to continue on these fence laws, Daniel, unless we've gone through the ones you want to look at.
Oh, we can look at a couple more here.
Sure.
There's a couple more about healing on the Sabbath. Again, as we talk about the Sabbath, obviously was a huge thing. We know, again, that it was just no work to be done on the Sabbath. But there were hundreds, if not thousands, of laws that were created based on that one law about keeping the Sabbath. And one of them is that they created was no healing on the Sabbath. That's why they ridiculed Jesus. Yeah. Not because he was helping the people. I mean, he was healing the sick and raising the dead. And another one that was in here is he mixed the clay and the mud. They weren't upset that the man got healed. They were upset at the fact that he took clay and he took mud and he mixed them together on the Sabbath.
Yeah, it wasn't the healing. It was the mixing the spit with the dirt.
Yeah. Good Lord.
You worker, you.
Yeah.
And they made it clear, oh, it's not because you healed this man's eyes. But aren't you excited about that? How in the hell can we be excited about a man's eyes being open that's been blind all of his life when you just spit on the ground made mud?
Yeah.
That's how warped minds get. You may not know why your mind is so warped, why you can't think. Make it your husband or your wife, not you, right? I know it's easier to think that's warped. But folks, until we start applying this to ourselves, you're never going to make progress. I have to stop and figure out, why the hell am I so warped? Why the hell do I think the way that I do? Because if I don't address it, guess what? It doesn't get addressed. You are the only one who can address how you think. What fence laws and religious people will do is deal with what you think.
Mm.
And suddenly we've got everybody covered with guilt and shame because of the thought that went through their head rather than how they deal with the thoughts that go through their head. We have no process for thinking. And that's what happens in every group. People stop processing thought. And it's the thought that you're having that's important, not the methodology or the way that you're thinking. And that is what we're trying to pull you. We're not trying to change your mind about anything. What we want to do is help you learn how to think. And if you're obsessed with the thought, I know what he thinks. I know what he, isn't that amazing? That's how most negative conversations start. Mm. I know what he thinks. I got really tired of recycling some of my thoughts about my siblings. And I guess it was 15 years ago or so, during a lull of things in ministry and everything else. And I thought, you know what? I would like to talk with a counselor. I just want to sort this out. I'm tired of dealing with the family. You know, I'm the youngest. I'm the baby. I'm the biggest in the family. My brother's 6'4". My sisters are all 5'7" to 5'5". And but my brother's the oldest. I'm the youngest. I'm gay. They're all straight. They're all Christians. I'm not. Just all the things that not a good setup here. So for much of my life, I've dealt with what my siblings think about me. Now, I wanted to deal with that, so I went to a therapist. That therapist happened to be a little English girl, who was in her late 30s. She had two teenage boys who were both autistic. They both were Asperger's. And just very difficult situations and very English. I mean, I'm not even going to try to do her English accents when I can't even speak English right now. But she sat there and listened to me, and boy, I would get on a rant about my brother, especially my brother, you know, my brother this and he this. So she listened for a couple of sessions. And then I noticed something whenever I'd say, my brother, this is what my brother thinks about this or that. And she would stop. Now, Michael, how do you know that? And I said, well, I know because, you know, this, that. Michael, how do you know that's what your brother thinks? Well, you're not listening. I just told you how I know what my brother thinks. And but she'd go on, and then I would get back around to it, and I would say, and he thinks, blah, blah. Michael, how do you know? I don't remember a word the woman said after 15 years, but she changed my life in absolutely knowing what I do know and not knowing what I don't know and acting on only what I know for sure, not what I think I know. Now, that takes a while. But it really doesn't take as long as you think, especially if the gospel's involved, because you got something in there helping rearrange your brain. So but we know what, I know what they're thinking. I want you to just stop. I know what they're thinking. How many conversations have you been in this week? How many times have you said, oh, I know what they're thinking? Oh, really? So you're a mind reader. Well, but they did. I know. I've been there. I've had a little English girl, 5 feet tall, 98 pounds, stand in front of me, sit on the other side of her desk and say, but Michael, how do you know that? And that's what we're trying to do, folks, is help all of us to learn how to think. What you think is your business. We're not building a fence law to tell you what to think. But my God, if the gospel does nothing else for you at all in this life, it will teach you how to think. You decide of those thoughts which ones you're going to keep, which ones you're going to walk through, how many you're going to entertain, and how much you're going to entertain them. Daniel's dad's doing a message today on that very subject. Hope he does a great job. But the title of the sermon today is what?
Mind control.
Mind control. Oh, Lord, the battle is in the mind. The battle is for the mind. Well, we don't deny that, but the battle is not about what you think. It's about how you think. And what makes you think you know what you know? And it's a labyrinth of things that lead us to think that what we know, instead of we know what everybody else is thinking. Now, folks, I tell you what, that's a devastation for a human life when a person gets to where they think they know what somebody else is thinking. It will cause you to do really stupid things. Just because that you think you know what somebody's thinking. And then you make decisions based on that. And I'm telling you, it's going to blow up your face every time. You say, boy, you sound like you know what you're talking about, Mike. I do. I've been that stupid in my life. I've had a lot of experience. I've had a little English lady sit across the desk. I went to her about 3 months, I think. And it's like, okay, I got what I needed from you. I thanked her for it. I told her, I said, I will never forget what you taught me And that is how to question, how do I know what I think I know, especially when it comes to what somebody else is thinking about me?
Mm.
And all of that stress about what I thought my brother thought about me left because I came out with one conclusion. I don't know what my brother thinks about me. He's never told me. Isn't that amazing?
Mm.
All those years of having a brother, he's never told me what he thought about me. Good, bad, right, wrong, indifferent. I made it all up in my head.
Wow.
So where are we, Daniel?
Let's look at one more of these. And this one stood out to us in particular. Not stoning the woman caught in adultery. But Michael, doesn't the law say that adultery
you get
is,
stoned?
You get
I knew where you were going. We're learning too much about you today, Daniel.
Whee! Yeah, so we know that the law does condone stoning and commands stoning.
It commands stoning.
A couple caught in the act of adultery. And
wait, you said a couple.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
That a man, a married man and a married woman who are not married to each other, that are sleeping together, caught in the act of adultery, they are to be stoned, not independently, but together.
So this is being stoned for breaking a covenant then. Seems like God was trying to tell us something about a broken covenant.
Yeah. And what do we know about the story? We know that there wasn't a man. I don't know how many messages I preached on that, Michael, that where was the man?
Yeah.
The woman was there, but the man wasn't. But according to the law, both of them were required to be there. And there was also a requirement for two or three witnesses.
So you see, what the offense laws do is cause you to break the law.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So they decided, man, we're going to keep this law so good. If we catch anybody in adultery, well, except mm-hmm. for the guys, we're never going to stone a man for adultery anymore. That's ridiculous. Mm. We know it's the woman's fault. It's the woman's fault every time, right? If you have sex with a woman, it's because she was showing too much shoulder, right? You know, too much ankle. God, men are so ridiculous. And then out there talking about alpha males today. Alpha, how about just getting a damn mind to where that you don't have to go around proving that you've got something bigger than what you think it is. But no apologies. I'm talking about your truck.
Vroom, vroom.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, there's something about 70s that's not good for me. It's just not good. I'm telling you, something has happened, and I take no responsibility for it at all.
Mm.
So, yes, it's, you know, instead we are doing stupid stuff, folks. You don't have to control. You don't have to berate. You don't have to belittle to be alpha male. If you're alpha male, you are the opposite end of what they call a bitch. A bitch is not a female. A bitch is a dog. An alpha is not a man. An alpha is a dog. Got it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So what we have here when Jesus was doing this, why this was considered offense law, is because Jesus, again, was actually defending the law, because the law dictated that the man and the woman would both be present, which is interesting why Jesus started that conversation by saying, he who is without sin, you throw the first stone, because he's saying you're missing the whole point. You're focused, again, as Michael has talked about Republicans and Democrats, you're focused on the little things and you're missing the big picture. What was the big picture of the law? You've all sinned and you've all fallen short. And, but why are you soling out this woman? And that's your problem, is you haven't seen that the woman is not acting alone, and you're not following the command of Moses by stoning this woman. You're actually breaking it because the law was perfect, and it required, there were steps that were required. I mean, they couldn't just pull someone out and say, hey, you're caught in the act of adultery. There was a process, and that was all detailed. And that's what we've been finding out in every time that we go through this, Michael, is how detailed the actual law was and how muddy the fence laws made those details.
Well, that is very true. And taking these situations and amplifying them, it's really crazy how that the minute becomes the thing that must be held to and believed to prove you're a part of the group. It's not the big things. Now, you've been told it's the big things. I'm talking about every church, every denomination, every political group, every one of them. You've been told, but what you're doing is focusing on the little things. Everybody's got you excited about the some of the little things. No, they're Mike, they're the big things. But you say, well, what decides what's big and what's little? When people that get hurt by what you think and how you think becomes simply collateral damage, and you accept no responsibility for the destruction of life that your belief system or your politics causes, that's when you are focusing on the little things, and the big things have lost focus. When your beliefs, let me state it again, when your beliefs and your persuasions have collateral damage of hurting children, of hurting adults, of hurting women, of hurting people, when that collateral damage has no impact on you mentally and emotionally, you have become a Judaizer.
Let me read some statements by the Apostle Paul. This is Colossians chapter 2. And he's saying the exact same thing, Michael. He's saying, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. He goes on to say, why do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, according to human precepts and teachings. And Michael, then he makes this real interesting statement. I think this would be a good step for us now to go back to the Hebrew scriptures after this and look at what you had introduced earlier. Galatians 1:13. You have heard, Paul speaking, you have heard of my former life in Judaism. Very interesting. How I persecuted the church of God violently, being extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Michael, it seems to me that the Apostle Paul saw a difference, because we know that the Apostle Paul taught the law, but also he's talking about all of these traditions of do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. And then he says, you know of my former life in Judaism. So it seems to be that there is a difference between Judaism and the law of God.
Yeah. So what we're going to be doing, and we don't have time to do it today, but we're going to be going into this in a way that you've never, ever heard before. And it is powerful, folks. The one thing that I must address at this point, anybody that knows me at all knows that if you breathe one breath of anti-Semitism, I am going to speak up. If you breathe one breath of judgment against somebody because of their sexuality, because of their race, because of anything, just simply because they're different, you're going to hear me speak up. I'm not going to speak up about what you do. if you're not hurting other people.
Mm.
My opinion about what you do is meaningless, spiritually and politically. What you do, my opinion, means nothing spiritually or politically if you're not hurting other people. Why? Because I have the mind of Christ. Therefore, judgment is not a part of my life. Now, discernment as to whether or not the things that we're supposed to judge, Paul said it's a shame you can't judge these teachings as to whether or not they are of grace or of law. But what Paul is making emphasis here, these verses have been used relentlessly to bash the law of Moses and the Hebrew scriptures. These are things that were developed to try to recover a fallen covenant, not things that were done to keep or make covenant with God.
Mm-hmm.
So, suddenly history itself has flipped on its head.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether you agree with us today or disagree with us, you need to start studying. And if you disagree with us, write us, email us. We are going to assume that if we do not hear from you, you agree with us. Bam.
Boom.
Yeah, you got it. If we do not hear from you, we must assume that you love what you just heard, because it's too important to keep your mouth closed about.
Mm.
We are talking about people who are now collateral damage, and the ideas and the ideology and the beliefs and the philosophies and things that you believe have placed people as irrelevant consequences to your complete mindset. As long as the way you think is protected. If the way you think has to become protected to the point to where what it causes to happen to other people is irrelevant, you are what we came to know as a Judaizer. And let me tell you something, it's never a good term.
Mm. So let's open this can of worms a little bit, Michael. Let's look at this thought about the covenant being broken. This Mosaic covenant being broken. And where and when that happened, because this is that transition point. So we know, I don't think we have to reestablish, especially for our GRs, we don't have to reestablish the fact there was a covenant.
Yes.
God gave a covenant. It started with Abraham, and then through Moses, he gave this covenant, and a covenant was established. But now what we're saying is this covenant that was established through Moses on Mount Sinai was also broken.
Yes.
And what Israel decided to do when that was broken is now they've created a religion.
Yes.
They've created a religion in an attempt to restore that covenant that was broken. But it didn't work. But let's look at this. I want to read a few verses here about this, just so you can see. And this is through the mouths of God's prophets. This is God speaking. Michael, we've read this. This has been a staple few verses for the Gospel Revolution for years. It changed my life when I first heard you teach it back about almost 10 years ago now. Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to say, this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my law in their mind, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they'll be my people. No one shall teach his neighbor, saying, every man know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. So it's very explicit, Michael, yeah, that this was to the children of Israel as they left Egypt. That's when they got the law.
Yeah.
That's when Mount Sinai happened.
Yeah.
It was a covenant that he made with them, but they broke it.
Yeah. Now, we're also going to take you into the Abrahamic covenant and the Mosaic covenant, if there is a difference. We will ferret all of that out. We'll talk about it. If you got questions about it, the best thing that helps us get to the bottom of an issue is if you'll just sit down, write an email, and give us a question. We will address it. Now, I have to say, we got an email from a guy 2 years ago, and he's got a little video online, and he complains about the fact that we never responded to him. I'm telling you, I've looked over that the email. I've looked over the video, and if you knew the difference between the video and the email we got, you'd know why we didn't even try. Basically, this is it. We're going to respond to the letter right now. Basically, this is the letter. I love everything you teach. you've changed my life. But you saying that these people that teach the law are not going to be punished by God? No. Out of here. You're going to be punished yourself because you said that. Now you tell me, how the hell do you reply to that? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Sometimes people need to just sit and stew, I suppose, because stewing was all I got out of that. And so now there's a little video clip. But the email explained that. Am I being accurate about what was in the email? Yeah. Now, I don't remember what he said, but it certainly did not bring up what he complained that we didn't answer him as we say we do, and we do answer. But folks, there's some things that just doesn't, there's no help. How in the world can you answer something that says, you must change your mind about this or you're going to hell. But I agree with everything you teach. I'm a little scared. we are asking for you to, we're not going to avoid any subject, but I'm telling you, we've got GRs that are Jewish. We've got GRs that have had every different kind of thought about Judaism. I was raised that in our circles, being Jewish was as good as being born again almost. Because they're in, whether they do it right or wrong, either way. That's kind of the message that I was taught. I knew it wasn't right, but I didn't know why. Actually, I did know why, because you can't. Christ is the thing. But you can't say the Jews are in because of Christ, but you got to believe. Everybody else has got to believe. So that's kind of the flavor that I was. It never became a teaching. I don't know anybody ever actually taught it. What about you, Daniel? What was the perspective you were given about Israel and the Jewish people?
Ultimately, they would all be saved. That was the end result. I mean, there was no one in Israel that was going to be, as a child of Israel, that was going to be excluded. And they were God's focus. They were God's chosen people. And to this day, that's why we have Christians United for Israel. That's a huge organization, a multi-million, maybe even billion-dollar ministry in the efforts of supporting Israel. I've had family members and friends very high up in that organization, working with it and bringing people to Israel and bringing awareness and all this stuff and raising tens of thousands of dollars for this ministry. So, I mean, they were, and it was really, it was, I was with you, Michael. I mean, it was always, when you read Paul make a statement that there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, how does that even make, how does that fit into that context? And of course, at that point, even seeing all of these as believers, and just for the believers' point, that there was a difference between a Jewish believer and a white boy who believed in Jesus, that there was a difference somehow in that. And I always kind of had a little problem with that, but I was so surrounded by this Israel promotion, this promotion of Israel and the Jewish people.
Well, we've touched the naked, raw, electrified wire. we are not unaware of what we've done. I drug Daniel here with me. No, Daniel, as he has stated, is fully involved, engaged. We want to understand, folks. Yeah, exactly. He's been taken captive by this man from Clarksville, Tennessee. So the folks, we can't just keep rehashing the same damn thing over and over again. There are hardcore truths that we need to look at. But by now, most people's views are solidified, and they're not willing to even have the way they think about it to even be questioned. So we understand that. And if you want to tell us off, that's fine. Now, you're not going to tell me off on my own telephone, though, right? You can send an email. You can do anything you want. Rude people are not welcome in my house. That's just you're not welcome on my telephone. I don't treat people like that, and I will not be treated that way. But we do want this. If what you've got to say can't be said publicly, don't write us, because we have no interest in protecting you. We're not protecting ourselves. Why should we respond to questions that we're having to try to protect you? We're putting ourselves out there on the line saying we want to understand. We want to understand this better. I can't think of a perspective about this that my mind is closed to hearing. You've got to realize, folks, do you know that there is a sect of Judaism that wants Israel destroyed? I realized that when that first reality hit, came to me more than 20 years ago, possibly 25. That they, and I remember seeing the person from the Jewish Orthodox Jew with his full black garb and the curly hair on the sides and standing there shaking hands with the leader of Iran, encouraging him in his attempts to make sure that Israel is destroyed. Now, you could have pushed me over with a feather. I didn't know such a thing existed. But they do. And they're very adamant. And they want Israel destroyed. Let me say, they don't want it destroyed any less than what the people that is you see on the news about it. They want Israel destroyed equally. In fact, they are so convinced that this Israel is not the promise that was given by God. And we're going to go through that too. They are so convinced that someone else created this nation, not Christ, according to the scriptures. Christ has to restore this nation. And they say Christ didn't do it. Therefore, it must be destroyed before Christ can come back. Or get here the first time in their story. Because Christ is coming in their story. So we just want to kind of massage the brain a little bit. And you say, Mike, you just took an axe to my brain. What are you talking about?
Massage.
It was intended to be a massage. I promise it was a massage. I'm sorry the axe fell. I wasn't my intent. I was just going to massage your brain a little bit, but the axe fell off the wall. I'm totally not responsible for what happened. That's the way we deal with life, right? So, but we're intended on not dealing with life that way, folks. What we've said here is more than without taking position. We've said more about this than you'll hear anybody say. In fact, those groups that believe these extreme things, including the guys in the Nazi uniforms saying Jews will not replace us, believe me, they think what they think and they believe what they believe. The Christians who would absolutely turn their back on their own children to help Israel. That group exists too. There's every opinion you can think of out there. Don't you want to try to look and see, do the Hebrew scriptures hold any understanding of this at all? Or are we going to keep repeating Holocaust and wars and wars and Holocaust and wars? On both ends of everything, and people thinking that humans being collateral damage of your ideology is okay. Children being collateral damage. I don't care which side. All of them. And seeing that's where you get. Yeah, but Mike, you're saying it. And I'm not saying the other side did anything right. We're not talking about that. We're talking about taking a breath, stepping back. Now, if you're entrenched where you are, you're there. We respect that. That's fine. We're not telling anybody what to think. But if you want to try to think about it in a different way, that's okay too. That's what we're here for. We're not here to change your mind at all.
With that being said, and I'll throw this bone out before we sign off here for today. We learned something from our mystic friends this week, Michael. And all I'm going to say is I'm going to read out of Isaiah 1 and say that our mystic friends may have spoken something that was a right question to ask. This is Isaiah 1:11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls, or of the lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. No more incense is an abomination to me. The moons, the new moons, the Sabbaths, and the callings of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hates.
Bam.
What?
Yeah.
Were they right?
How can you argue with it? Or is there a way we're thinking about it that needs to be brought into focus? Yeah. Now, folks, there's two things that are true right now. You cannot take that out of Isaiah chapter 1.
Mm-mm-mm.
And you cannot take out the fact that God commanded that they do this.
Yep.
So the only conclusion is God is schizophrenic. I am sending him to my little therapist. She is the only one good. But God, why do you?
Oh, we need a cartoon picture of that. God sitting before a little 5-foot English woman.
How do you know that?
God. <Yes.
laughs> Believe me, he would be trembling in his boots.
Well, Michael, I think we whet their appetite enough. What do you think?
Oh, well, either that or I'm going to see torches burning outside my door. I don't know which one's going to happen. But folks, our goal, my soul, Daniel's soul, your soul, is to help anyone who is in pain, physically, mentally, emotionally, for whatever purpose. Our goal is try to mitigate, alleviate, or remove that pain.
Mm. And so it is. We must leave you, family and friends. If you'd like to know anything about the Gospel Revolution, then call our office on
832.
You need the interpretation of tongues in order to call Michael.
832. See, that'd be a lot of our other friends are going to say, that's karma. You made friend Daniel first of this. So see, everybody's right. So yeah. 832-318-9339.
And speak to us about how you want to participate or go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the connect link. Don't forget to check out the latest updates on lilbornequation.com as well. You can find us on your favorite social media network, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Please be sure to hit that subscribe, share, and like button on whatever platform you are listening. Now it's good night from Daniel Rouse in the frozen tundra. Go Pack, go.
Absolutely. And boy, it sounds like we better close this thing out really quick. Thank you guys for joining us. We love you. Spread love, spread the graciousness, spread the kindness. I have no kindness to offer to those who are harming other people. I will not be kind to you. I will not be kind to you.
We sure hope you enjoyed today's PowerCast. And remember, we'll be here to do the same thing all over again next week, only...
It's got to get better than this.
Since you're knocking on the door, you're begging to come in, yeah. Unaware that all the wildness been knocking from within. You are the love you seek, a perfect yet unique, righteous, holy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you feel lost and alone, staring at the gotta be nothing to complete. It's not a thing that you need, you're the love. Just remember to breathe and take a second off. Look, I'm just trying to remind you that you're perfectly divine, flawlessly designed. When you feel lost and
deconstructing religion and barbecuing the sacred cows of Christianity before your very eyes, you are listening to
The Gospel Revolution.